Hyesung Kim has officially been posted in the MLB for 30 days to find a team and sign with them. So the clock is ticking. Who's going to get him? Let's get into it.
Pitches and innings, only 129 for the whole game. That ball's hit deep. Kim stopped at third. Kim stopped at second. Korea's in business.
Welcome back to the Touching Bases podcast. If you're new here, subscribe, like the video at the end if I deserved it. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's talk about Hyesung Kim. Kim will be coming over from the KBO over in Korea, and since he is now officially 26 years old, he meets the minimum demographics to be considered a professional baseball player getting posted in the MLB. He must be at least 25 years old with at least 6 years of veteran time in the KBO, and now that he's here, he can get an MLB contract and play in the MLB. Something a little bit different than Roky Sasaki, who did not post his full five-year term in the MPB in Japan, and why he will be taking a minor league contract. Just to clarify some things, I just wanted to make it very clear. So offensively, and don't get me wrong, a lot of you are going to be cynical and say KBO is a lot different than the MLB. They would say it's probably an equivalent to a AAA league versus a Major League Baseball league. I'm not going to say you're wrong. I think you're correct. I would say that offensively, his slash lines are going to be a little bit less here in the US. And I think there's also a mental factor that makes things either significantly better in their stats or worse. And we'll get into that a little bit right now. Hyesung Kim slash 304, 364, and a 403. And that is in 8 seasons with the KBO. And that is comparable to Hyesung Kim, where Hyesung Kim served 7 years in the KBO, and he had a 294, 373, 493 stats. So obviously Hyesung Kim has a lot more power, but Hyesung Kim has a lot more consistency as far as getting on base and getting hits. Now, Hyesung Kim, he was a very good bat. Now, the first year in the MLB, he was kind of like iffy, a little bit iffy, not exactly the best. But at the same time, the next season, he was a very good hitter who was hitting. He kind of made his adjustments in San Diego, and he started becoming that player that you saw in the KBO, but here in the United States. I think this might be the same case for Hyesung Kim. I wouldn't come up with any other reason why he wouldn't be able to perform here, especially since he is more of a slap hitter, and we're starting to see that the power hitters are struggling these days, while the ones that without the power and the more contact base are being a lot more successful. Luis Arraez, for example, slap hitter, lefty, gets on base all the time, won the batting title, I believe last year or the year before with Miami, hitting over 300, really draws a lot of attention and very productive for his team. I think Hyesung Kim might be an excellent addition for any team right now that just needs people to get on base. Initially, I was thinking the Royals. I honestly was thinking the Royals would be in on this, but they just made that trade for, well, Jonathan India, who is also a second baseman, just like Hyesung Kim, but his on-base percentage is high, even though I think Michael Massey's probably going to be playing second and India will be playing DH. I'm ruling out the Royals in on the sweepstakes for Hyesung Kim. And given that the second base position is so, I wouldn't say, competitive, it's not saturated, there's very little options for the second base, not as bad as third base, but not that good either. This could turn into a pretty big bidding war for someone who wants a good starting second baseman in their lineup. Teams that I think should go after him would most likely be, and you're not going to like this, the Cubs. Now, let me explain why. Nico Horner is their current second baseman for the Cubs, and he is making $11.5 million for that team, and he was very good this last season. I don't think they should get rid of Nico Horner. I think that he or Hyesung Kim should be on this team, and they would platoon back and forth for shortstop and second base. I think their range is really good. I think their ability is really good. Their on-base percentage is really good, and Dansby Swanson be replaced. Now, the biggest issue though here is that he has a no trade clause. Dansby Swanson cannot be traded, and on top of that, he is the most expensive player that's on the Cubs team. $28 million per year going to Dansby Swanson, and honestly, the last 2 years have not exactly been the greatest for him. I would say Nico Horner is significantly better offensively and defensively, relatively similar. And with that said, even with a no trade clause, which is where a player could easily waive that and say, I'm not doing good here, better for me to go somewhere else, keep my name up so that I can make more money in free agency if that were to come, and move on from there. But I don't know any teams that need a shortstop at this point that can take on $28 million per year. And this is where I think you might be able to move Nico Horner in a trade to offset that salary, sign Hyesung Kim for maybe a little bit less than Nico Horner, hopefully, depending on how this bidding war goes for a second baseman, and get something in return. So you can trade Nico Horner away, get some guys that you really need, like a catcher, which the Cubs desperately need a catcher, maybe some pitching, and you still have that same caliber and same level of infielder in Hyesung Kim. On top of that, you have a lot of veterans in the clubhouse that can really welcome him in and bring him to a very historical setting at Wrigley Field. Another team that I think that should go after him is Seattle Mariners. Obviously, they have a second base hole, but I'm not going to dig too deep in here and give you guys hope. I don't think they're going to. From what it sounds like with ownership and from the front office, is that they're gaslighting everybody in the fan base for the Mariners and saying that they are content with Dylan Moore and content with Ryan Bliss, and they're not going to spend any money on that position, which sucks. Like, that really sucks. Like, if you guys didn't watch it, we did a little fantasy rebuild with the Seattle Mariners. I did it with Jake Raise the Trident. Go ahead and check out that video I posted earlier today, since I am releasing this video today along with a bunch of other videos coming up. And dude, like, we could have so much a better team if we just played our cards a lot better and right. We are looking at ourselves where we did a salary dump for a starting pitcher that could have benefited this team. Not that we needed him, but would have benefited this team by taking on an outfielder that the fans loved back in 2022 and 2020, but nobody cared about in 2024 because he is terrible, and he's still one of the most expensive players on the team per AAV, and that's Mitch Haniger. I'm getting off track, but because of that salary crunch, and because there's a possibility that the $16 million that is rumored to be going around as far as an increase from Stanton and ownership, the Mariners are probably going to have nothing left after arbitration. That is a sad thing to think of, but Hyesung Kim should be signed by the Mariners. The Mariners should be signing Roky Sasaki, they should be signing Hyesung Kim, and they should be going after in a trade for Alec Bohm. That is hands down what should happen, and they are not going to do that. I can tell you right now, I'm hoping I'm wrong, but they're not going to do that. On top of that, what would be awesome in retrospect, if you think about it, is if the Cubs were to bring up, were to sign Hyesung Kim, and then trade Nico Horner and somebody else, a different prospect, to Seattle, who can then fill their second baseman because they missed out on their sweepstakes with Hyesung Kim, without affecting their budget, and give the Cubs players that they need, including starting pitching, a catcher, which we have one of the top catchers in the entire MLB prospect list, make a deal that way. So I can see these two teams working together if either one of them get it, but I do think that the Cubs could capitalize on this and, moving forward, utilize their current roster to better their team in other areas. Another team to keep in mind, and this is another team that I'm a fan of, and it's the team that Hyesung Kim is not signing back with, from what I can tell, and is going to cost about $12.5 million in free agency market, is the Padres. The Padres had Hyesung Kim, and he was really good there. I don't see why they wouldn't go after Hyesung Kim to take his place and play second base or shortstop, especially with his ability. They already have Luis Arraez. They love that slap hitting on base percentage kind of persona, and I did make another video that's kind of worrisome as far as their budget goes, because they did take a lot of loans out for their team and the MLB was not too happy about that. But within the next 30 days, between now on December 4th to January 4th, he's going to be signed somewhere. So why not see Hyesung Kim go to the Padres to fill that infield hole that the Padres currently have, and most likely sign him for less? Now, I don't know exactly how much the amount is going to cost for him to come over, but there is a calculated fee of 20% of his, let's see, I'm just going to read this verbatim. In addition to the money going to Kim, a club signing will also have to pay a posting fee to the Heroes, which is the team over in the KBO, the value of which will depend upon the size of the contract. The fee will be calculated as 20% of the contract's first $25 million, plus 17.5% of the next $25 million, and 15% of any dollar thereafter. Additional earnings, such as performance bonuses, incentives, or salaries on option years fall under the purview once they are unlocked and exercised. So what is he going to get posted for? I do not know at this point, but MLB Trade Rumors does think that he's going to actually sign for $24 million guaranteed in a three-year deal. That would be about $8 million per year plus the like $4.5 million for the signing bonus. So technically, it would be the same amount, roughly slightly less. It'd be slightly less, but it'd be the same amount as far as what they were going to be paying Ha-Sun Kim, but Ha-Sun Kim just had surgery, and so he's a bit questionable in this last year. He was kind of iffy. He wasn't his 2023 self by any means, but Ha-Sun Kim could be taking on that role. He's already proven that he can play professional ball, and he has done that over the course of 8 years in the KBO, so why not have the Padres replace him in that position and pay relatively the same amount of money and not increase their payroll going into 2025. The last team I can see signing him would be most likely the Yankees at this point. As far as someone who's going to be around $8 million plus the posting fee, so it'd be about $12 million or so, the Yankees can absolutely afford it. And with them not re-signing Gleyber Torres, I don't really see who they're going to throw over there at second base. And they also have a hole at first base. So it'd be better to sign somebody that's less expensive so they can spend more money at first base to replace Rizzo. Who is that going to be? I don't know. If they were to sign Christian Walker, that would blow my mind. And that would be a very good signing on their end. And I know they can afford a $22.1 million AAV, but Ha-Sun Kim at second base, Christian Walker at first, and then on the other side, they still have Anthony Volpe. And third base, I don't know. They can probably keep Jazz there instead of moving him over to second because Jazz has had a full year at third base, and now he can better himself there. The outfield is most likely going to have a hole if they aren't able to find somebody to replace Soto, but there are a lot of other bats out there who can play right field. People like Santander, who's a switch hitter, who I think is going to be just as good as Soto as far as contributing to the Yankees in 2025. A lot of you guys are Yankees fans are gonna be like, there's no way you can contribute just as well. Honestly, Santander's defensive ability is exactly the same as Juan Soto. They're both not that good. If you say and tell me that Juan Soto, he was a Gold Glove finalist for right field. He almost won it. No, he didn't deserve it. Have you seen how terrible he was defensively? It's just the name. Everybody was just voting for him because it's Juan Soto. He wasn't that good defensively. And Santander, I think, is equally, if not better, defensively. And he's a switch hitter who hits over 30 bombs. And in Yankee Stadium, I think he can do more than he did in Baltimore, and it's not that long of a move. So there are other options for the Yankees as far as filling the outfield, but if you were to go sign Ha-Sun Kim to replace Gleyber Torres, I think you just boosted your team to about two or three more wins, which last year they secured it with Juan Soto being on their team. Why can't you secure it by getting Ha-Sun Kim and another outfielder who can produce as many bombs as Juan Soto and join them in the outfield with Aaron Judge? I'm just saying, New York, this could work, and I don't see why you'd be against getting those two guys if you don't win Juan Soto, which there are other teams out there that I think are a little bit more desperate than you to have Juan Soto on this team. So Ha-Sun Kim, Yankees, Padres, should be the Mariners, but they won't do it, and the Cubs. Those are my four teams that I would say pick, should probably sign him in the next 30 days, but we'll find out. Leave a comment down below if it's your team that you think he's going to go to and why you think he's not going to go to the four ones that I just mentioned. Until then, like, subscribe, and I'll see you on the next one. Later.